Episode 302 today, an interesting one with my guy Connor Kornbrath, a good buddy of mine. He was there early when we stepped into the program in 2013 in that special teams room, and has a career path that doesn't look like a lot of people that we bring on this show. But he's got some fun stories, some interesting stories, and I think his time on the show will be illuminating. Let's have a day. Let's go. Oh, welcome in, everybody. Episode 302 of the podcast. It's a shame that it's taken this long to get this man on. Sitting with me today, you've got another Tyler Kluver exclusive, no Drake, no Kevin. But from the title that you guys clicked on, you guys know that we have Connor Kornbrath in the studio, the virtual studio with us today. My boy, we haven't talked in a long time. How you doing?
Good to see you, man.
You're skinnier than the last time we talked.
I know. I was like 245 in my playing days. I'm like, woo, 200 now, dude.
Right around two bills, huh?
I'm trying to stay around that two bills.
What's the fitness and diet plan look like to do that?
So the diet plan is just honestly eat whatever you want, eat as much as you want. Because my metabolism, I'll lose weight if I
really
don't. Yeah. It's like the complete opposite. Like everyone I talk to now is like, hey, I'm trying to lose weight. Well, I'm like, I'm trying to gain weight. But the lowest I ever was post-football after I tore my ACL in 2017, I got down to 185.
Ooh. And for those Hawkeye fans that that remember, Connor's not a small guy. He's a 6'7", right?
6'6".
6'6", 6'7". I'll call it 6'7". Connor, you're an interesting guest because, well, for a lot of reasons we could, but normally on our show, we've highlighted guys who go through the program. They make it all 5 years, you know, they have the fairy tale story, right? And it didn't work.
Mine didn't end with sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way for you. And it's interesting because it doesn't work out that way for most guys. You're not the minority. I am. I don't know how many you guys came in with in 12, but I think we had 37 dudes in our class. And I think we graduated with 14. So
I don't know what our stat was of how many 2012 guys like made it to even my point, but I just remember locker room talk at one point. It was kind of slim picking.
The attrition gets pretty deep, and it doesn't discriminate against position groups. Obviously, for those that remember, Connor got, you know, you got significant playing time right off the bat, and I want to get to that in a second. But first, I want to figure out, because I don't even know if we ever talked about this. How did old Connor Kornbrath get into the punting game in the first place back in high school or before that?
I was a multiple sport athlete, played basketball and soccer mostly as, like, say, more of a kid. I kind of always had a strong leg in soccer, and then just like screwing around with friends at like school or backyard football, kind of learned I could kick a ball. Played football my first year and was kind of doing the same thing, like at an end of a practice, and we practiced special teams like the first time a week before the game. We're like,
right,
the kicker. Like, you are. I was like, all right, cool. So after my freshman year, I ended up quitting soccer and focusing on football. Still played basketball. Started going to like camps and learning like technique, how to actually kick a ball. Started practicing a lot and got pretty good at it, but consistency was always a thing.
We'll get there. You figured out you could turn one over though, right? Like, hey, yeah. we can get this done. Was it, did you go to Coles camps?
I did.
Okay.
So, my junior year, I went to Coles camp. I think I won like the punting competition there. He sent my name to good amount of schools that needed a punter, like leading into the 2012 season. And I went to Houston, Iowa, and Pitt, like in a week span to just do like camp / go and punt for them.
Right.
But yeah, really, really liked the campus, the field, the people, the culture.
Iowa City's not a bad spot.
Not a bad spot, man.
A lot of good times for old CK back there. We'll talk about some of those too. Did you know anything about Iowa football before? Like, how much did you follow college football?
I followed it a good bit. I mean, I honestly didn't know too much about them. My brother knew the most. Started looking into them more, held a program. I think it was either a year or 2 years before I was in, was that Doyle hospitalized.
Arabdo, like, yep.
Yeah, however many players. And I'm like, whatever, I'm tough ass.
Fucking pussies.
Man, fucking did I find out.
What? Oh, man, I love it. You and I have some similar experience in that sense, because I wouldn't call either you or I, though we were high school athletes, multiple sport.
Yeah.
Neither of us really came in as with a real.
And like to the average Joe, or just like, I'll go play pickup basketball. And I'm like maybe one of the most athletic guys on the court. If not, I go into Iowa football program, I'm like barely making my semi times. And like all these kids are stronger and faster than me. I'm like, God damn.
It's not fun.
Hey. Not fun. Hey.
Oh, puppy. It's okay. Yeah, man. The some of those early career workouts.
A new complex was made, and we still had the older one. Those like 0 degree jogs outside to go over to the turf.
Oh. How brutal is that?
I live in Florida now, dude. Fuck the cold.
You live in Florida?
I live in Jacksonville, Florida since 2018.
Oh, my goodness.
And my girlfriend, now wife.
Look at you.
Moved down.
That's amazing. Congrats, by the way. For those that are curious, what's he talking about with the – I know we've mentioned it before in the podcast, but before the Hanson Performance Center was built, it was the Jacobson Athletic Building, and a building that was maybe 1/10 the size as far as football allocation went. But we had the indoor facility, but it was just, that's all it was an indoor facility. And so we would have to run up the stairs, go up the stairs, walk out the door. It's dark. It's cold. Sometimes it's snowing. You're literally just running in your workout shoes through the snow, right by the moped you just drove to the complex, and you go and you walk. So it's like, oh fuck. Those are the days, man. Those are the days. What do you remember about freshman year, sophomore, you know, when you were in that?
It was a huge difference getting a car my sophomore year and not strictly living by the moped life, because I tested the waters a couple times when I shouldn't have, and
I think
I slid downhill Crist Hill, had to walk it back up and then sprint through like the walkway hospital to make my lift. One time my freshman year during Nebraska week, I was like looking to my left and Riley McCarron's in front of me and he had stopped. I hit him going at like 30 miles an hour and flew over my handlebars. And I bounced up, man. I did bounce up, but I'll tell you what, it like kind of fucked up my padding of my hand.
Yeah.
And just catching cold footballs snap after snap at practice. And that was not ideal, but hey.
Hey, everybody's got a story like that. Everybody's got a story like that. I don't know if I ever told you guys this. I probably didn't, because when Marshall, so when I came in 13, it was Casey and Mike were the dads, right?
They were the dads.
And then it was like in the relationship of the special teams room, it was kind of like you and Marshall. Marshall, for sure, you were maybe associated on his level in that specialist room. We're kind of like,
Johnny was there? No.
No, he was not. He was there the year before I was, right? So I think when you came in, it was for that 1 year before me, you still had Johnny and
John Wayne.
Yes, yes. So Casey and Mike were dad, and they were respected by everybody, right? I mean, maybe no one has ever been more respected than Casey Kreider as a specialist.
Agreed.
And then it was like you and Marshall were kind of like the cool uncles. You had some respect, probably less than I thought you had, right, at the time. And then it was like I came in alone. There was no kicker or punter that came in my class. It was just me. And I was sort of brought along.
Yeah.
For some reason, mostly because Casey didn't have a backup. Like I was given the number two spot. Mm-hmm. And man, it was a fast learning curve, man. And it was, I remember camp freshman year. Dude, you remember the, what we used to do after every camp practice, you and I would come in, we would cross off on your calendar inside your locker with the X's.
Oh, we would, man.
Because it was just a hell of a time getting through a camp day.
And camps. I mean, you can't talk too much just getting through a camp day as a specialist, because when everyone else is running around and doing all this shit, we might be doing some drills or on a knee watching. So, yeah, our legs are tired at the end of the day and we're in camp life, but it's still specialist camp life.
It pales in comparison, but man, for us, like getting one of those X's at the end of the day was like, oh, we made it. We made it.
Hype, dude.
That was hype. Me and you got hype for that shit. And honestly, that was the first, like, if I really think back to it, that sort of thing, just a little thing like that, like a connection with a teammate, was sort of the first sense of like, I'm starting to fit in and like be friends with these guys, right? Like I'm being included in this little ritual that we have at the end of a practice. Specialists, and maybe you can speak more to this from your point of view, but like we get shit on all the time from the rest of the team. And because of that, there's almost like a subculture within the special teams room where you have to like prepare the young guys for that.
For the kind of friendly shit, but shit nonetheless that you're going to experience.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, when I came in, it was, you know, fresh meat. Like I took all of the shit. 2013, and you and Marshall were often the times to give it to me, because Mike and Casey were almost,
heads.
Yeah. Well, they were too good to give it almost. And God, those are some years, man. Like those are, God, that's crazy.
Want to take a quick second to let you guys know that as it has been for a while now, the show is supported by DRF Sports. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What month is it, right? What month is it? January, February, March. It's March. What happens in March? What is the phenomena of March? It's the college basketball tournament. Come on now. You catching on, right? So DRF Sports, college basketball. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at their website right now. They got their own tab for it. We're right in the heat of things, right? Basketball is full-fledged. It's the best time of the year to not only fill out a bracket, participate with your friends, but let's put a little change on it, right? Let's put a Tyler Kluver $10 bet down on some games. Not only are you then cheering for your team to win so that your bracket can be great, but you're also cheering so you can make a little dough. DRF Sports is here for everyone that wants to get into the game. They have the analytics, the data, the information, the education to help you bet. That was almost poetic. So let DRF Sports be your friend this postseason in college basketball and beyond. They have all sports, of course. Going to be really fun when we get towards the football season again and we can do some fun things with them, with the Hawks and maybe some other stuff as well. But for now, enjoy that tournament. Throw a little down in the game. Play the DRF Cash Grab, which is where you can win free money. And thanks to DRF for continuing to sponsor the walk-ons. Let's also recognize our guys at AdCraft. I don't know if you guys have seen it. If you haven't, then that's my fault for not getting it in front of your eyes. But we came out with a couple new sleek designs recently, okay? And they look incredible. A new block design for the H-Band, the Hawks by a Million. We still got the OG. All of those designs brought to life from idea, concept, to physical, tangible item that you can put on your body and wear into Kinnick Stadium, Carver Hawkeye, or wherever you want to support the black and gold. And all of those items are made by the beautiful people at AdCraft. All right, you guys have heard me talk about AdCraft. You know how they're good for the booster clubs or the companies or whatever custom merchandise situation that you have on hand. You don't have to worry about anything. Okay, they streamline the way you offer your custom merch by utilizing AdCraft's risk-free web store service. And believe me, that's exactly what we're using for our merchandise at the Wash Up Walk-Ons. All you have to do is they collect the orders. They do the pickup, the distribution. AdCraft ships directly to each customer, which allows you to just reach a larger audience without any extra hassle. All you have to do is promote the store and collect the profit check. To access all of that right now, go to adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. You got early playing time, and I want to hear about that. Did you come in the summer of 12, or did you come in camp?
I came in summer of 12. So I think I took like a couple classes, lived at the Mayflower with like three other dudes, and was competing for a spot, but it was kind of open between like me, Johnny, and Winky.
Because Donahue had just left, right?
Donahue had just left.
Okay.
I don't know. Eric Guthrie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I knew I was competing for a spot. I've always felt like I've given it my all, and it's a specialist trait too. So it's very mental. Mm-hmm. But Blue Mountain State had come out like maybe a year, 2 years before. Like I was entering my freshman year and I'd watched it. I'm like, this is not fucking Blue Mountain State. I don't know. Everyone kind of has that like stardom freshman feel, and it can change quick on you.
Yeah.
But I was happy with it. A good point. This is here's a decent story for you.
Okay.
I was late for one lift.
This is freshman year?
Freshman year. Probably about maybe like 2 weeks before the season. And it was a Sunday, and I had like there was a 9:30 and a 10:30 slot, and I was 9:30 one. Mm-hmm. And I missed my alarm. I get up at like 9:45 and I'm like, I guess I'm just going to go into the 10:30. Do that. Kind of trying to play it cool. We're in the huddle. Doyle calls us up. He's kind of looking around, saying his thing. Makes eye contact with me. Cornbrath, go push the fucking wood. I'm like, huh? He's like, go the fuck inside and push the fucking wood. It's like, okay, I'm going to go inside. So I learned what that was. And for people that don't know, that's grabbing a little 4x4 chunk of wood about 3 feet long, getting a bear crawl position, and you push it up and back the distance of the weight room, right, like 8 to 10 up backs. And then you go into your lift. It was conveniently a leg day that day, which was fucked. But yeah, that was the only lift I ever missed. Doyle made a good point the week after. He's like, I want you to look around at your recruiting class and who's starting right now? I was like, me. And he's like, yeah. So fucking think about that and fucking act right, kind of thing. I was like, Okay.
And you were like, fuck, that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
And I think if I was more of a fuck up than what I am, that I wouldn't have made it through Iowa football as long as I did. Made good grades, I made my times, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
how long did you stay in the program? At what point did you exit?
So I started 2 years, freshman, sophomore year, mm-hmm. and then did split time my junior year. Mm-hmm. Senior year was still with the team going into summer conditioning. And there was a miscommunication / understanding between me and Coach Ferentz that if I was taking summer classes that summer, and he thought I was, which I wasn't. I was just going to like do a part-time job. So I went back to Iowa City and was like getting ready for my first summer workout. And I got called up to his office. I'm like, what is this about? So it ends up being the, as we'll call it, the Mullins treatment, where you're done, but they're still going to pay for your school. And he offered me if I wanted to, or if he wanted to help me transfer to another school. And at that point, I'll get into it too, because I know you've kind of planned through it, but you have mixed feelings. You can get burnt out on it. I was ready to get my degree and finish school at that point, but basically traveled to Iowa to leave a week later. And like, that was my last Iowa workout.
Wow. I did not know that.
No,
I did not know that. I do want to come back to that.
I remember that workout. You were telling me how you've been doing a lot of CrossFit that summer. And I was like, oh, a lot of my friends back home. You're like, that workout was easy. I'm like sucking wind. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm still doing CrossFit, by the way.
Yeah, dude. I've seen you. You dropped some long snapper weight.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's funny because you never got to see me. I made it up to 245.
Yeah.
Not a 6'6" 245. It looked a lot different. It was a 5'10" 245. When we trained. Thick. Yeah, thick. we, you know, in the league, the guys are 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
And they're 240 minimum, right? And so I was basically told from everybody who I respected even a little bit in that process of training for the league that spring, like you can't change how tall you are, so you have to get to 245. Like you have to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I played around 215 when you were there and we were walking in and out of the locker room every day. I was around 215 then, up to 245, and now I'm actually back to 200 because I've added quite a bit of muscle. But I got down to like, I ran a marathon a year and a half ago, and at the end of that marathon I weighed like 182. So I've gone through that same sort of spectrum of weight. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What did you think about, we'll stick on that topic for a second. How about weigh-ins? What did you think about body weight?
I struggled with it really only my freshman year, but I kind of got in the hang of it. A lot of people struggle, dude. A lot of tactics would be done before weigh-in.
It's a game.
Yep. Can you, if you're under, you might be packing a big dick that day with a Powerade in your pants.
Might be.
If you're under like that boy, Andrew Stone, you might be putting down 10 Gatorades and a couple shakes. And as soon as we get through warm-ups, you go and explode your guts up in the trash can.
It's crazy to me because I look back and I think about it. And the stuff that came out with Doyle a couple years ago, this is where I really think, I'm not, for people who have listened to this and have heard us talk about the Doyle situation, I'm very much a Doyle guy, right? I think that he was an absolute asshole coach, and that was his style, and that he was insensitive to people. some of those people happened to be black, some happened to be white. Like it didn't really matter in my opinion.
Words right out of my mouth. I've like seen some of your stuff, but I haven't like listened through. Like, kind of surprised me. You've done 302 episodes.
It's a lot.
Shout out, guys. But yeah, man, I was a firm believer that he could be an asshole. He was a good coach. Sometimes he didn't need to take it, say, to the level he did, but I don't think he was racist.
No. Insensitive, right? Yeah. To, and I actually had this conversation not on the mic with Drake 2 days ago. And the way it kind of came out in my thinking was like, sort of for the first time, is like he was insensitive as a coach, right? He was, when you think old school, hard ass, fucking,
yeah.
Don't drink water, you're a pussy. I mean, it wasn't that far. He let us have water. But it was that kind of philosophy. And he was insensitive across the board, right? It could have been about your weight. It could have been about any number of things, right? And in that bucket was some things that were specific to guys who came from an African-American culture. And so then a lot of that could definitely be seen as like, wow, he's singling me out for being like a different race or like having hair. So I've my eyes have opened a little bit onto how that all went down. Regardless of that, the reason I said that was, as a 27-year-old now, knowing how that culture of the weight, like body weight shakes, get a shake in you, right? We used to, it was a joke, right? Like we'd walk in the complex, we'd see somebody and they're drinking a little Gatorade or something. You're like, oh, get a bottle in you. Get it in you, bud. It was really, to the extent that Stone was having to deal with it, right? Those guys. It was really unhealthy. Like that wasn't good. That wasn't good. And something should have been done. Someone should have said something like, hey, we need to back off on the punishment or how we view this body weight thing, because it's making guys deal with a ton of unnecessary stress. I think of Miguel, right? Miguel, this was probably past the time when you were there, but he dealt with in the middle of his career, really bad stomach ulcers because of how much he was just chugging down to keep weight. And so I just wish like somebody that was a guy who just made weight every week, like me, I think I missed weight 2 times in 5 years. I wish I would have like stepped up and said something like, hey, like this is really fucking with guys throughout the entire week. Like, and it's an unnecessary concern and giving people anxiety and taking away from like their performance on the field. Cause like, let's be honest, like if you were at 245 or you were at 237, was that really affecting you turning over a ball into the left corner? Like, you know, some guys I could see it, right? Like linemen need to be big. Certain guys need to be a certain level, but that's something I think about pretty often. When I think back to that,
along that line, I've thought about too, it was more off season or especially the like summer workouts, but it's tough to go get a good punt session in when like my legs are fucking shot, dude.
Yes. Yes. You have no idea. And this was something that I said, I joked, I was very, very light with this, but you know, like I'm into CrossFit. That's a hobby, but like, a passion of mine, a personal interest of mine is like strength conditioning. I was an exercise science major. And so while I'm both going through school for a lot of this and just learning stuff on my own in the strength conditioning space, I would always think about like, and we would hear from other specialists too, right? Like from other teams that you know, or like in the space, you're like, yeah, like I'm pretty sure Minnesota's specialists didn't even have to be there in the summer for the workouts at one point. Yeah. So I started to think like, okay, it's cool. Like we earn respect by being able to be in the same, like do the same conditioning tests as Kittle and CJ and Josie and all these guys. But how is this affecting our performance? Like, like I'm tired as shit and I don't need to be, because I'm never going to be in a spot where I need this type of conditioning. Like,
I don't know. And it was that again, that was old school, right? Like, I think if you had DeMarco as a strength coach now, he would probably say, like, all right, specialist, you don't need to do this. Like, let's be smart, you know?
Yeah.
What were you told? Let's go back to, you come in, Gus had just left. You're fighting for a spot. Are you told that first year that you're the front runner? Like, what were you told? Because they always tell you something.
I want to say I was maybe like the beginning of the year. He's like, you've got a kind of like a 2 to 3 week trial period to see how you do. And like throughout practice, like each week, to solidify this spot, you have it now, but it's not set in stone right now.
Cause you were scholarshiped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right out of high school. So they were kind of like saying like, okay, you're going to be the guy and we have a couple other guys. Right. But it's going to be yours unless you lose it. And freshman year, like obviously you worked through camp and got through it. And 2012, like Connor Kornbrath is running out there for the first punt. How did that feel?
It's pretty sweet. I still remember that punt. I remember a lot of punts. First punt was at Chicago Stadium.
Soldier Field, yeah.
Against Northern Illinois. It was, I don't know how late into the game it was, maybe late first or like second quarter. But my I was like standing on our goal line and it was a kind of a line drive. It was like 45-yard dinger.
Got into it.
Yeah. Like, all right, let's fucking go. But yeah, man, I mentioned it before, consistency, something I struggled with, and the mental game with it of trying to tweak it. My freshman year, I wasn't as good at plus 50 punting, or like I didn't even do Aussie style kicking back then. But Winky actually did most of the plus 50. Mm. So against Northern Iowa, it's probably one of my least favorite punts of my career. I should have just tried to kick as far as I could. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to hit a touchback. And I punt it. Not the best punt. It's going. Starts to flutter its tail back. Hits the ground. Bounces over all of our men. And I run down and in my hand.
And you downed it.
I should have just fucking punted it again. Fuck off, but
I think I remember that. I remember that watching it on film because it's just like one of those meme reps that's like, yeah, not a lot you can do about that one. So you go through freshman year and I guess I never really looked at it this closely, I guess, but how would you grade or assess yourself as a 12 game performance? You guys didn't go to a bowl game, I guess. So how did those 12 games?
Oh, we did. We went 4-2 to start and then we finished 0-6.
Yeah.
To not, but 6 out of 10, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Improved my sophomore year and was turning balls over more consistently, but still having a fucking shank off the side of the foot. And, I ended up splitting time with Kid. They brought Dylan Kid junior year. They brought him in as like competition, which I was here for to kind of fuel the fire and
yeah,
focus, whatever you say. But still got some time like Aussie punting and holding that year, but lost the spot per se.
And I remember that too. Your reputation inside the program, Doyle maybe wasn't a big Connor Kornbrath guy.
I think it's fair to say that.
Would you say that? I don't want to, like, I don't, I mean, you know, I have nothing against you, but I'm trying to paint the picture for the listeners.
Here's a good one. One time, so I grew my hair out in college.
Yeah, you got the flow.
Yeah, dude, I had flow. But it was maybe winter conditioning of my freshman year. And
so this is after that 4-8 season, or was it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like it was after that
season. I was gonna say, was it bowl prep, but there was no bowl prep.
No, sir. Just 5 weeks of extra winter conditioning and prowlers.
Oh fuck.
Fuck me. But no, we're like going over to do like hurdle hip mobility. And I literally take a step over my first one and I just start getting raped verbally by Doyle, like, corn breath, you Joe college ass motherfucker. I don't even know what you're doing here. Are you fucking kidding me? And it's like, man, I didn't fuck up. I stepped over a hurdle. And this is how we're going to start the day.
And like everybody's had some version of that too. And this is, yeah. This is again, like, this is one of those Doyle things. Again, big Doyle guy, right? I love 95% of what he did, but man, sometimes
I don't love him, but
right. He, for some reason, it was almost like in his office as he was walking out for the group to start, he's like, who am I going to choose today? Who gets it today for no reason, right? And that's one of those things, right? And in your head, you're sitting there thinking, what the fuck? What did I do? Like, and like,
it's not like you're about to like verbally stand up for yourself.
Right. Yeah. No, you're not. And I actually have I didn't even do that, but I did respond to him one time when he was chewing my ass and it got exponentially worse. I don't know if you remember in the summer, we would start earlier in the summer with like an easy circuit of like a kettlebell. They were on the sideline. I think we did squats, swings, and rows. And like, we started with like 6 reps, 2 rounds of each. And then you do like sets of 15, put it down and run across the field and then walk back.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of our GPPs.
Yeah.
And I was like the last off the kettlebell, which like put me behind on the run. And then I'm not a fast guy. Everyone's beating my ass across the field. So I'm coming across way late. People are already walking back as I'm finishing across the line from 40 yards away. He's screaming, Kluver, you think you're going to be a fucking starter on this team? And you're going to be the last one to finish through the fucking line? You got to be shitting me. And like, I'm dragging ass, man. Like when I get tired and I'm sweaty and I'm like, I produce saliva, I need to spit. So I like spit on the field just to like clear my mouth.
Yeah.
And he thinks I'm spitting at him. He thought he's never walked across the field so fast. And I looked at him, I'm like, coach, I wasn't spitting at you. He's shut the fuck up. And I was like, I mean, it's like, he kind of had like a switch in him that would like, you know, you just don't want to. And then there were other days where it was like, damn, this guy's cool as hell. Like, and because of like the volatility on the good days or when you got compliments, those were like almost exponentially better.
You almost had to like feel out that compliment and like choose your response. Be like, is he fucking with me or like being nice? Thank you.
You didn't want to. Yeah, there was almost a way like you didn't want to. There was a right way to accept that compliment from him. It was weird. He demanded a way of being is the best way to describe it. A lot of times good, sometimes bad. So, but what I wanted to go back to was I remember when Kid got brought in, and I think that was so that would have been after my first year snapping, which would have been 2014.
Yep.
Yes. So 2013 was your first year. Casey snapped you 2014.
I started 12.
Oh, 12. Oh, you were 2 years ahead of me. You were in Kane's class?
No, I didn't redshirt though.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. So I'm snapping to you. All good. Oh, wait, no. Wait, so you did you played 12 and 13?
Yeah.
And then 14 was your third year, your junior, my first year snap. I don't remember either because Kid was not
around.
Oh, Kid was brought in after Casey left. Yep. Yep. That's right. That's right. So I become the snapper as Casey leaves. And that's right after that Outback Bowl 20. It would have been in 2014.
it was a January 1st.
Yep. It was when Dylan got brought in from fucking El Camino College in California or wherever, JUCO. Yep. And he was previously at Florida State. And now we've got, and I remember you said you were like, I'm up for this challenge and competition. Like, I want it to make me better. And that was no bullshit. Like, I think going back to like, oh, Connor, Doyle's not a Connor Kornbrath guy. I think that he maybe
turned him a little more into a Connor Kornbrath guy.
Well, because you showed that, like, I'm here to compete and punt. And I think what ensued was like, both of you made each other better, but we still, for some reason, and I don't even think it was all you, I think it was a little bit me, because I was still early in my career figuring out snapping. In that 2014 year, the kicking game, let's just say this, Coach White, and we haven't even brought up Coach White yet, and we have shit on him on this show because Drake hates him. we as a specialist group were looked down upon. We were in a bad spot.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that? And what comes to mind when you think about us and our position on the team at that point?
I mean, you got to go out and try and do your job. As a punter and a snapper, I always try to tell myself you're only as good as your next punt. But still, man, I learned that if things – like I've looked at this a lot. I didn't go to a camp at Vanderbilt that because I committed to Iowa that very well could have offered me as well. And then I could have been punting in the SEC weather, which I think would have been a lot easier than punting in the Big Ten weather.
100%.
But I'm happy with the choice I made and the people I met. But yeah, there was room for improvement. There's always is room for improvement. Shout out to Torrey Taylor. That kid's a fucking boss.
Unbelievable.
I love watching him punt.
He's electric. I mean, he's just so much better than everybody else, like base talent wise. It's wild. So Dylan, in 14, you guys share reps, and man, we were the toilet bowl of the team. Like, I don't remember if Coach White brought you in on a meeting at all, but I know for a fact that he brought me and Marshall in on a meeting at the end of that 14 season. And he said, hey, like, we got to figure this shit out. Like, the team does not feel confident when you guys run out on the field. And that was like serious. That was, I mean, you know, the culture of that program is like, people are depending on you. Like, and you're expected to do
look your that.
Yeah.
We're not getting points.
Yeah. And I mean, shit, at this time, now we got Mick Ellis in the program. And I mean, we're Miguel. And it's like, holy shit, we're trying everything. Like, we're just, and then we get to that point where you make it through spring ball. And like, was your intention, I imagine the intentions were like, hey, I'm going to play, obviously, because you came back for that summer before you kind of were given the, what you called the Johnny Mac treatment.
Yeah.
You were like fully intending on like, hey, I'm going to make senior year something. I'm going to try and be the guy here. Yeah.
That was the plan. And
they just, so, cause I know of several people who they've kind of told this to, you're on scholarship, right? And now, and did you ever feel that pressure of like, man, they scholarshiped me and like, you know, things aren't working out like maybe they would have, like, what did you think about that?
I didn't, never really looked at, say, like their disapproval or whatever as a pressure. I put more of a pressure on myself to my expectations, and it's shitty when you're not meeting them and you try and work harder to do it. But in the end of the day, I had a lot of mixed feelings when I left the program. Like I said, I was burnt out and I was excited to experience college, but I'm walking away from something that I've known and done my entire life.
And sort of transformed you in the last three, like, you can't be in that program and not be seriously sort of formed by it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to spit you out.
Yeah.
But, No, I'm happy with it. Kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, I was going to say the burnout factor, was it burnout from like, damn, like now we've been competing for like a year and a half and we still don't know like who the fucking punter is. And we're going through the stress of like,
yeah, it's stressful, man. But once it finally happened, it's, you miss it.
Yeah.
And like, I got this question a lot that year, 'cause that was the year you guys went 12-0 fucking. And it's like, are you mad that they're having like so much success now? And I'm like, fuck no. I love those guys. I'm like, I fucking love Iowa football. I still do. I watch it every Saturday. Coach Ferentz made a business decision and for the better of the program. So a lot of mixed feelings, but I'm happy with how it happened.
And I'm glad you are. 'Cause I think the worst thing would be like to look back and obviously like have a ton of regret about things that happened, or maybe not even regret, but like, you know, I know a lot of guys that I did graduate with, or that, you know, were in our classes or around our classes, and they look back on that time and feel like they were shorted, or they feel like they were, you know, and that's going to happen all the time. There's only so many spots on the field, but sucks if that's how, and you still think about it a decade later. Right. That meeting with Coach Ferentz, you come in for the start of the summer. He thought you were in classes. You were not.
I was in classes. I was not in classes. So he would have like handled this over the phone and not made me like buy a plane ticket to Iowa to.
And so I guess his thinking was, because you're on scholarship, obviously the scholarship is paying for these classes that he thought you were taking, which is why they were still going to honor the scholarship, because I know some guys who got it taken away after spring too.
I don't know 100% is thinking of it, because I was still scholarship through spring semester, because I was only there 4 years.
Yeah.
And finished in 4 years.
All the way through that next spring.
All the way through that next spring.
They're so really,
I went through a full senior year of college life, which was pretty cool.
On scholarship. that's unique. That's unique. And it is sort of cool.
Dead. Not this guy.
That's huge. That's really huge. You walk in, you get called into that meeting, and did he recognize your confusion?
Yeah, dude. I was in my full gear. The workout was about to start in like 10 minutes or something. And I was like, I was pretty caught off guard. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, do you want me to leave? He's like, well, you can like finish this workout. I was like, should you want me to like, can I come back? And he's like, you can finish out the week. And I was like, okay. And then I finished it. And I was like, I was kind of saying like my goodbyes to everyone, 'cause like the word was getting out like throughout the workout. And, I don't know, just never went back. I felt like it would have been weird, or the world would have been like, what are you even fucking doing here?
Right.
But yeah, I was definitely taken aback by it. Didn't see it coming the morning 10 minutes before my first summer workout.
That's wild.
Right?
That's wild.
So I was in Iowa City for like another week and just kind of like hung out. And then I went back to West Virginia for the remaining portion of summer, and then just went back to school for the year.
What were the feelings that week after, you know, you had time to process that, and you're like, was there any like real like sadness or like,
I mean, I think I went through mild depression when I was getting away from football. I handled myself still, and I'm a happy person. Like I said, But yeah, I think it was something that was there. And one thing that I'll add that did not help consistency or keeping my head down and watching a punt all the way through was getting involved, not tweeting myself, but just reading hate Twitter after a game about yourself. It doesn't boost your confidence.
No.
I don't recommend players to do that,
especially specialists.
Yeah,
kickers, punters, snappers.
probably not going to get a lot of snap. I don't remember a lot of snap hate tweets.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kevin and Drake, when they are on the show, like to shut me up, but I've said it multiple times, you know, like at the college level, most of it physically and like being able to kick a ball or snap a ball, you've done it 1,000 times. To go do it well is mental. It's the mental.
In the cold and swirling wind too, that doesn't add to the...
Not easy.
No.
Not easy. Sure. You were still looked at as one of the boys, like one of the true boys. Like everybody was, at least from my point of view, even though like there's this perception from maybe the coaching staff that like, hey, Connor's a slapdick, right? Or, you know, whatever they thought. Like, I think you still had the respect of everybody on the team and people really enjoyed you as a teammate. And
I appreciate it, man. I like to think I was tight with people too. I mean, you can kind of tell when someone's not as tight or whatever, but yeah, man, like trying to be myself, be friendly, try and do the same thing in life and my work. A funny story. I think it was Shump who gave me the nickname, but my freshman year he started calling me Corn Beezy and that for a while.
That's great. Shump, yeah. Man.
He's like coaching the Cardinals now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's doing it. Corn, college corn was a big time. Hey, let's go down to the bars. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy Iowa City. Let's mesh the college experience, a little bit of Joe College with being a D1 athlete, which there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have anything against that.
You typically get one day a week as a college athlete to have a night to yourself, and me and the boys would like to get after it. And I got the rep, I think, from coaches that like I was doing that on the weekends, but it's like, I'm not the only fucking one.
Right.
Don't put Brandon Sheriff on his pedestal, Doyle. And Brandon Sheriff's a fucking beast. I'm not a fucking Brandon Sheriff, but I'm out getting drunk with him on Saturday. So come on.
And I think what they saw was, and this is where maybe, you know, you got a little bit of group reputation, was like, hey, the specialists aren't doing well as a group, right? As a group, they're not performing. So this sort of idea of like, hey, you don't deserve to have fun on Saturday. Like you shouldn't be out being an, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but that was the line of thinking. Like you shouldn't be the guy out drinking, having fun on a Saturday night, potentially, you know.
In hindsight, 2020, maybe doing less of that would have turned my career in a better direction. But come on, man. I was a D1 athlete. I didn't join the Marines. Time when I could have a good time.
Yeah. No, and I think
shout out Miller.
I was just gonna say 8:30 Miller. Dude, so actually, crazy story, full circle. My brother ended up being on the team for the last year and a half, 2 years. He's not on the team anymore. And he lived for a year at 8:30 Miller.
It's still in like football hands.
It still is, man.
Awesome.
And they renovated it. So
they did. It's 2 years after I was out. Drew Ott was still there and he was like rubbing it in my face how nice Miller was now.
The dump, the place you guys lived in, it has changed a little bit.
And that poor old dump, like our there was me and four other dudes there our sophomore year, and like our parents would come in for a weekend and they'd clean it up. It looked the best it ever would. And Saturday night comes around and more people there than you plan, and you wake up and you're floor is sticky and there's shit everywhere. And
where's the spot? Where are people? Where's the pregame? Well, yeah, probably
we're getting kicked out of the bars at 10 a.m. not or 10 p.m. not being 21.
Yeah,
it's like Do we do it, guys? All right, come on.
All right. Everybody come to 8:30. Yeah, man, that was – no, you guys
– we had a party maybe like 2 weeks after Alden Hafar got like arrested for sprinting away from a party.
Yeah.
And it was like getting big and we were like kicking people out, but that house was fun.
It was. You mentioned Ott, and I know you were sort of buddies with him, and that was he was part of the gang. What do you have to say about Drew as a person?
He's a wild man. He's a one of his own wild man.
Yeah.
You have to have a certain something about you, I feel like, to graduate with a class of 9 people. Yeah. But that dude is a beast. He always cracked me up how in-depth on his phone games he was. Boy, clashed hard.
Clash of Clans, man.
Yeah. But no, I'm glad he's doing well. I saw his wife Callie at George's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
He's making TikToks and shit out on the farm.
Yeah, he is.
That's what he does now, and that doesn't surprise me at all. Well, I think that this conversation was illuminating in a way that a lot of the ones we have on here aren't, and I'm glad that you joined us. I still to this day, and I don't know if you've heard this, I still to this day, I'm talking Reggie Roby, I'm talking the Australian that we have right now and Tory Taylor. I don't care who. I've never seen a bigger A-ball than Connor Corbrath.
Dude, those A-balls still get me hype. Not everyone can punt 5-second hang time balls, but they're a fucking pretty thing to watch when they happen, man.
I remember distinctly one, we were backed up to the train tracks out on the practice field punting towards the baseball field. And I want to say we clocked it up towards 6 seconds. Like I really think it was like a 5.6, 5.7, and it went 72 yards. And I've never seen anything like it.
That's that jizz ball right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the,
I can still turn balls over.
Yeah.
I'll go out and kick at this park, like right by my, I've been golfing.
So golf? It's just,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to let you go and enjoy your night, but thanks for hopping on here with me, man. This was good. Okay.
Great being here. Great catching up. Glad to be here. Hawk fans, I love y'all. Horns down.
Horns down. Hawks by a milli.
Hawks by a milli.
Hey, thanks, man. Thank you guys for listening to episode 302 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We're going to keep punching these out. But until then, I think this comes out on a Monday. So we will see you guys Thursday, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace.